so good to see all of you this morning. You know, for the last several weeks, we were in a series. We're starting a brand new series here today. And as I was just thinking about this church, thinking about all of the things that we've done over the last 6-7 months to get to this place, seeing all of the new faces that are coming through week in and week out, it got me thinking this week just about why we do what we do around here. And it's so easy when you're doing church to just kind of get into a rut, get into the monotony of, oh, we're coming to church, we're checking our box, we're doing our thing. But what I don't ever want us to forget as your pastor is that we come into this place to hear from God and to fellowship with Him and to fellowship with one another. And we get that opportunity this morning, and that is a privilege and that is an honor, and I am so thankful for that. And I'm so thankful that I get the opportunity to share with you this morning what I'm gonna share with you, because I gotta tell you right now, I'm fired up. I've been excited about this message all week. I believe God has something in store for each one of us this morning, and I believe as we move throughout this series, God is gonna do some amazing and powerful things in our lives if we will allow Him to. And so I wanna encourage you, over the next few weeks as we dig into this new series, make an effort to try to be here on a regular basis. And if you can't, we've got a podcast. You can catch the messages every single week. Listen to them there. Stay caught up, because a lot of times what happens in these series, what we'll do around here is we'll do a series and it will build on each other. And so there's kind of some foundational pieces. We're going to talk about some of that foundation today. And if you miss that, you kind of miss out on all of the rest. And so I really want to encourage you to do that. But you know, this week as I was getting ready, I was studying out what we're going to be talking about, I came across this statistic. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but you can actually go on the internet and you can look to see what keywords or phrases are being searched on a regular basis on like YouTube or Google. And I came across this statistic that just kind of blew me away, that every single month, the keyword phrase, how to pray, is searched 137,000 times. 137,000 times. And what that tells me is that there's a lot of confusion out there about prayer, right? There's I think, some misunderstandings. There's some mystery surrounding this whole idea of how do I actually pray? If you're like me, sometimes I wonder, like, I can't see this God that's supposedly out there. Right, I can't reach out and touch Him. How do I communicate with Him? And my guess is, depending on what your church background is, or maybe lack of church background, you have some preconceived ideas about what prayer looks like or sounds like. For some of you, maybe it's the way you hold your hands while you're doing it. For some of you, it's maybe how you bow your head or close your eyes. Maybe it's a specific location that you think about. Maybe it's a certain person that you think about praying with. I think we all have these biases and these preconceptions about what prayer is supposed to look like. And so, if you're in the room today, and you've ever struggled with connecting or feeling like you could connect with God, with feeling like maybe God was distant, if you've ever struggled maybe with how to pray or what to pray, maybe you've never prayed before in your life, I want you to know this. This series is for you. It's for you. But I also want you to know, if you're in the room and maybe you are a quote unquote seasoned follower of Jesus, you've been doing this prayer thing for a long time, but maybe, just maybe, maybe your prayer life has been a little stale. Maybe lately you've been having some trouble, some disconnect between you and God. And you just need a little Kickstarter. You need a little jolt in your prayer life. I believe that this series is for you as well. You see, more than anything, this is what I want for us. I want us to recognize that prayer is so incredibly powerful. And when we really begin to understand what it actually is, it will change our lives. And not just ours, but the people around us as well. It is so vitally important, and yet I believe it's one of the most misunderstood things that we try to navigate and understand. in the Christian life. And so many of you, you've probably heard some definitions of what prayer is. I think maybe the most common one, if you've grown up in church, you've heard this before. Prayer is just talking to God. Have you ever heard that before? Or some form of that phrase, right? Prayer is just talking to God. But when I think about that, that's such a, to me, that diminishes prayer big time. It's so much bigger than that. It's so much broader than that. And when we reduce it to simply talking to God, I think we're totally missing out on its power. It's so much more than talking to God. There's a listening aspect to prayer, and we're going to get into that a little bit in the coming weeks. But it's even more than just listening. I believe it's about being present. It's about being engaged with the God of the universe who created us and gave us life and put breath into our lungs. It's about recognizing that he is there, that he is with us. It's about this word, intimacy. Intimacy. See, I think all of us are wired to want and to desire intimacy in our lives. We want intimacy in our relationships. It's the reason that we search so hard for that boy or that girl. It's the reason websites like Tinder and Christian Mingle, if you're super spiritual, exist, right? We want intimacy with people. We were hardwired to have intimate relationship with other people. But something that I'm learning, something I'm discovering about myself in my interpersonal relationships and in my relationship with God is this. Without great communication, it's really hard to have intimacy. What do I mean by that? Well, my wife, Autumn, she is a great communicator, phenomenal communicator. I, on the other hand, sometimes not so much. And I'm not talking about like standing up on a stage and talking to a bunch of people, because that's one little form of communication. I'm talking about like the interpersonal communication that goes on day to day. And guys, you probably resonate with this more. I don't want to typecast or stereotype anybody, but I think the guys deal with this more often. Right? You're in the kitchen, your wife comes home, she's talking to you, and you're nodding your head, and she's looking at you, and you're looking at her, but your mind is like somewhere else. You're in the room, but you're not present. You're physically present, but you're not mentally and spiritually present, and there's a big difference. And what always happens to me is this. Inevitably, it leads to this question. Justin, are you paying attention? Are you listening to the words that I'm saying? And like an idiot, my usual first response is, oh yeah, I'm listening to you. I'm hearing every word that you're saying. And you know what the next question always is? Well, then what did I say, Justin? Tell me what I said. And of course, at that point, you do one of two things. You can dig yourself deeper into that hole, which is, guys, if you get nothing else from this message, take this away. Don't dig yourself deeper in the hole. Just admit it right there. I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I was thinking about football or my job or my hobby or whatever it is that I was thinking about in that moment. I'm sorry. I wasn't present. And the reason that I share that is this. In order to have intimacy, in order to have great communication, we have to be present. You can't have great communication if you are not there. Not just in body, but mind and spirit as well. That's how you build great communication, by being present. That's how you build intimacy. And at the end of the day, I want to give you a new definition. This is where we're going with this. I want to give you a new definition of prayer, because again, I think we have a lot of biases, I think we have a lot of preconceptions about what it is. And if we're ever going to have a great prayer life, we need to understand truly what it is. And so if you brought something to write with today, I want to encourage you, mark this down. Prayer is simply intimacy with God. That's what prayer is. It's not about the words that you say. It's not. And I think a lot of times that's what we think. No, prayer is about me talking to God. That's a part of it. It certainly doesn't encompass the whole thing. Prayer is intimacy with God. It is this dynamic, fluid, moving dialogue. It's not a monologue. And until we begin to understand that, we'll never have a real, authentic, healthy prayer life, and we will miss out on the power that comes with that type of prayer life. You see, intimacy with God is born out of healthy communication. Again, if you want to mark that one down, I think that's so important to understand. If we're going to have intimacy, we've got to have healthy communication. And so, we are starting a brand new series this week that we are calling Communication Breakdown. Because I think a lot of times, here's what's going on in our lives. God is speaking to us. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to do some things in our life. He's trying to work in our life, but we are not paying attention. There's intimacy that's been broken between us and God, and we have to recapture that intimacy, or maybe for some of us, for the very first time in our life, we need to begin to have intimacy with God. And really, as we go throughout this series, that's my prayer for you, that you would begin to have intimacy with him. Because as you do that, as your intimacy with God increases, he will increase and make everything else in your life better. I promise you that. I promise you that. And that's what I want for you. I want you to have a better life. I want you to experience God the way that I sometimes get to experience him. And I got to be honest with you, total transparency, sometimes my prayer life stinks. And when it does, I feel it. I know, I can tell. My marriage is worse when I'm not in intimacy with God. I'm not as good of a parent. I'm not as good of a friend. I'm not as good of a pastor. I'm not as good of a coach. And I could go on and on and on and on. The more intimacy I have with God, the better my life gets. And I want that so badly for every single person in this room, every single person who's listening. And so if we're really going to understand this idea of intimacy, being close to God, we've got to go back to the very beginning. We're going to go back to the book of Genesis today. You see, what happened when God created the world, he created Adam and Eve, he created man and woman, right? And there was this perfect intimacy, this perfect harmony that was going on in the world. First and foremost, between God and man and all of creation, perfect. Perfect intimacy, perfect harmony. There was also this perfect intimacy between man and woman, between Adam and Eve. And then there was this perfect unity, harmony, intimacy between all of nature. And it was good for a while. But one day, Adam and Eve made a decision. And really, at the end of the day, this decision, what it did was it broke intimacy. It broke fellowship with God. What they did was they sinned. They were disobedient. They did something they were not supposed to do. And when it comes to a perfect and holy God, when you do something, when you sin, you break that fellowship, it ruins intimacy. It ruined the relationship like that. And for thousands of years, that intimacy and that fellowship was almost beyond repair, or at least seemingly. And then one day, fast forward a couple thousand years, God calls this man named Moses. We all know Moses, right? Goes into Egypt, frees the Israelite people from their bondage. They go out into the desert. They get the Ten Commandments, right? And they're wandering around the desert. And in this moment, God chooses Moses and he chooses these people to begin to try to repair the intimacy that was lost in the Garden of Eden. He sets in motion a plan to reconnect us to himself. He comes up with this idea of the tabernacle, which is a really Christian-y word, this tabernacle. It really, all it is a giant moving tent. And this is so important for us to understand. We're going to just do a little bit of a history lesson here, okay? Now, when you look at the tabernacle, you're going to see a couple of different levels. The very first level, you're looking at this entrance down here in the bottom right corner. This entrance goes into what's known as the court of the tabernacle. And there is this massive altar right in the middle of it. And what God said was, in order for you to have right relationship with me, to be cleansed of your sin, something has to die. That's what sin does. It causes death. It causes complete separation from our God. And so in order to restore that, something has to die. And so what they would do is they would bring animals into this court, and the priests would sacrifice them on this altar, a blood sacrifice, and it would cleanse them of their sin so that they could go on, go about their day, and be right with God. But the reality is they had to do this over and over and over again, and no sooner would they make a sacrifice, they're right back in the same place. Why? Because their sin had consumed them. The intimacy and the fellowship that they had with God, it was no more. God felt so very distant. And we see this even more as we work through the tabernacle. The next level goes into this actual tent inside the bigger tent. And only the priests could enter that part of the tent. And they had to be totally purified and cleansed and right with God. Because if they weren't, they weren't allowed to enter. And so they had to go through a whole host of rituals and all of these things just to get into that place. And then you had one more level that you could get to. And only one person was allowed to enter. It's the very back of the tabernacle. It's called the Holy of Holies. The high priest is the only one who's allowed to go in there. And even then, he's only allowed to enter one time a year. And he had to be like so cleansed, so right with God to go in there. Because when you went through there, and what they did was they separated it with this giant curtain that they called the veil. And when you went through the veil, you had better have your stuff right with God. Because you were entering into the very presence and power of the living God. This blows my mind. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't. They would actually tie a rope around the ankle of the high priest as he went in to the Holy of Holies, just in case he died, so that they could pull him back out, and they wouldn't have to go enter into the presence and the power of God and end up being killed themselves. That's how in awe and reverent and fearful, in a good way, in a healthy way, they were of God. And so God puts in motion this remedy, if you will, to try to begin to close the gap, to decrease this separation between man and himself, to increase intimacy. Fast forward another couple thousand years. Israel has now become this full-blown nation. They have a capital city now, Jerusalem, and they have this thing now called the temple. And the temple is basically just a huge, giant tabernacle, but it's made of stone and it doesn't move. But it's the same principle. There's an outer court, and only certain people are allowed to go into that court to make their sacrifices. And then there was a next level, and only the priests could go there. And then there was a final level, the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest could go in to the Holy of Holies. And so it's now been thousands of years. There's been this separation. There's been this gap. And along comes this man named Jesus. And if you've never thought about this before, if you've never fully grasped this, this to me changes everything. This is why Jesus is so incredible. What he did for us was so amazing. And I think, honestly, we take it for granted what Christ did. You see, what Christ did was he came into this world, came to us, so that we could be restored to perfect and complete intimacy with the God of the universe who created us. That's why he came, so that he could save us from our sin, and in doing so, allow us to now have intimacy that lasts forever, that is complete and whole, this dynamic dialogue, this dynamic intimacy that never ends. I want to read a passage from Matthew chapter 27. If you have Bibles this morning or phone apps, I encourage you, you can pull them out, you can follow along. We'll also have this up on the screen. But we're going to read the account in this last moment of Jesus' life where he's being crucified. He's put on the cross. He's paying the penalty for our sin. And something happens here in this moment that I think we read this sometimes and we just blow right over it. And it is so vitally important for us to understand. This is what it says in Matthew 27. It says, from noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And so Jesus is on the cross. He's dying. He's been separated from his Father. And he's crying out, "Why, God? Why have you forsaken me in this moment?" Now, Jesus knows why. But there's this pain when he's separated from his Father. It's the first time in his life that there's this separation, and he feels it. Let's read on. It says, when some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. He gave up his spirit. It wasn't taken from him, he gave it. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. Don't miss this. Don't miss the symbolism here. It says, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. Now, let me tell you something about this curtain that was in the temple. It was 20 feet wide, 60 feet high, and 4 inches thick. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I would have the strength in any way, shape, or form, even with the biggest knife on the planet, to cut that curtain in two. It's not possible. It was so thick and so heavy, it required tons of guys to maneuver it and manipulate it. And don't miss this. Don't miss the symbolism here. When Jesus went to the cross and he died and he gave up his spirit and he became the sacrifice for our sin, what he was doing was saying, you know what, from now on, from this point forward, you don't have to make sacrifices anymore. You don't have to do anything to get right with God. I just made you right with God. And when I did that, the veil was torn. And all of a sudden, we have access to the Holy of Holies. We have access to the presence and the power of God himself. He made himself nothing. Put himself on the cross, died for us. To do what? To create this intimacy with us. The veil was torn. It was blown open. And now we get to be in his presence. And maybe for you, you've never felt like God was close or God was near. Or maybe you've been a believer for a long time and you've been a Jesus follower for as long as you can remember, but there are still days when you feel like God is just not near. He's not close. And what I want you to hear this morning more than anything is this: God is near. He is close to us. He has made a way for there to be intimacy between us and himself. And here's the challenge that I face, and I think it's the challenge that many of us face. Whether you don't even know you're sure about this whole Jesus thing, or whether you've been following him for a long time. We'll never be close to God when we treat God like he's far away. We won't. And it's not because he's actually far away. And that's what you need to hear this morning. He is so close, but we act like he's not. We treat it like he's this far off, distant God. And when I talk to him and when I try to communicate with him, I'm just throwing darts at a dartboard and hoping that they stick. Like, God, I hope you're out there somewhere. That's not what it's like. For those who have put their trust and their faith in Christ as their Savior, who recognize the sacrifice that he made, who believe that that veil was torn, the God of the universe lives inside of us. His Holy Spirit is with us right now in every single one of us. And this is what's so brilliant about God. Have you ever thought about this? You are now the temple. Thank you, Jesus. We are now the temple. God is living inside of us. We don't need a priest to go to God. You don't need a pastor to be your conduit to go to him. You can go to him anytime, anywhere. And he's right with you. He's already there. Again, thank you, Jesus. There's a verse in Revelation 3:20. And I love this verse so much. Because to me, this is the power of the gospel, and it's the power of what Christ did for us. You see, when he tore the veil open, he came to us. He didn't say, come to me. He came to us. He came to earth. So he came to us physically, and then spiritually, he came to us. He came to dwell and to live inside of us. And this is so important for us to know, because we will never again have a healthy prayer life until we recognize this. Let's read this together from Revelation 3:20. It says, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. He is standing at the door of your spirit and your heart, and he is knocking. He's already at the door. Right now, whether you believe in him or not, I believe he's standing at your door and he's knocking. Whether you've been following him for as long as you can remember, he's standing at the door and he's knocking. And he says, all you have to do is open that door and I'm going to come in. And I'm going to begin to change your life. And I'm going to begin to help you with your stuff. And I'm going to fix you and heal you of your brokenness. Just open the door. See, this is what prayer is. Prayer is not us going to God. It's God coming to us. And we've got to change our mindset on that. First and foremost, he is speaking to us, and it is out of the response of him speaking to us that I am able to pray. That's the only way. There is no connection to him without that veil being torn. There is no connection to him without him first knocking and saying, I am here and I am ready, and all you have to do is engage with me. And if we're ever going to understand how to pray, what to pray, I mean, all of the other questions that we have, this has to come first. And if you hear nothing else this morning, I want you to hear this. God is near. He is so near. He is with you. And even though you may not feel it, even though it might not seem like he's there, when you're going through your worst moments, it might feel like he is so far away. He is near. And all we have to do is welcome him through the door. And so today, I don't know. I don't know what your prayer life is like. Honestly, that's between you and God. I'm not here to judge that. I don't know if it's been just amazing. I don't know if it's been completely non-existent, but here's what I know. That if we will begin to see God as close, if we will begin to recognize that he is near, that he is with us, and that we have total access to the power and presence of God in our lives, he will begin to change you. And this is just the truth this morning. Without him coming to us, without us responding to him, I don't believe that any real change of value is going to happen in our lives. We need him so desperately. I need him so desperately in my life. Every single day, from one moment to the next. And here's what I want to challenge you to do. And with this, we'll wrap up here. As you go throughout this week, we're going to talk about all different types of things that have to do with prayer in the coming weeks. But for this week, here's what I want you to do. Would you just be present with God? Would you just be aware that he is there? Would you begin to just try to cultivate some intimacy with him? And here's what's so beautiful about that. You don't have to say a word. He hears your heart. He knows your thoughts. But we have to be present with him. Begin to actively be in his presence every moment of the day and watch and see what happens. I promise you, it will blow your doors off. It will. That's my hope and that's my prayer for us as a community, that we would become a people who understand that he is near and that we get to be in his presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And so in this moment as we close, I can't think of a more appropriate thing for us to do than to have fellowship with our Heavenly Father, to break bread and to celebrate what he did for us on the cross, to celebrate the tearing of that veil, to celebrate the opportunity that we have to have intimacy with him in this moment. The churchy word for this is communion. But all that simply means is that we're going to have fellowship with our God. We're going to remember what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. How powerful that is in our lives. And so if you're here today and you've never taken communion before, I got to say this. It means nothing if you don't have a relationship with Christ. It's just a bunch of bread and juice. You can go to Giant Eagle and get some right now. But if Jesus has done something in your life, if he's changed you, if he's saved you, this is everything. And so in this moment, here's what I want to challenge you to do. This is how we do communion around here. Come to the table. Come to the table and do your business with God. And maybe it's a week that you need to just celebrate because God has done so many good things for you. Or maybe it's been the week from hell and you just need him right now in this moment. Come into his presence. He's there. He's already there. He's waiting for you. I'm going to be praying for you in this moment. Let's do our business with Christ. Let's worship him and celebrate him for who he is and his goodness. And if necessary, let's cry out to him in the midst of our pain and our brokenness and our need and admit that we're helpless without him.